So we're starting this new series called Faith in Action this week. And I hope you saw when the video was running that the I in in was red. And the ACT in action was red because it actually says faith in action means I act. I do. I don't just sit. So to start us off in this series, I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. I'm going to read from the Message. But before I read, let me just give you a little introduction to this. Acts chapter 4 is one of the earliest creeds, professions of faith of the church. But when I say that, let me qualify that, because the moment we hear creed or profession of faith, we think of something like a statement of faith, like the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in the Church. Or we think of living faith, or we think of one of the catechisms. Problem with thinking of these statements of faith, it's usually a lot of knowledge and a lot of words. And oftentimes we kind of just say these words and we don't even remember what we said, even when we say the Apostles' Creed. However, in the early church, they did not write their creeds. They lived their creeds. Their faith in action was how you could see who they were and what they were. You could see it in their hands. You could see it in their fingerprints that they left. You could see it in their hearts. You could see it in their actions and in their heart. It was only much later that others came and wrote down these faith in action moments so that we could read them. So against this backdrop, I'm going to talk to you about faith in action. And I want to show you from Acts three pillars of faith in action. So go with me to Acts chapter 4. And as I say, I'm going to read from the Message. So the whole congregation of believers was united as one. One heart, one mind. There's pillar number one, unity. They didn't even claim ownership of their own possessions. No one said, "That's mine, you can't have it." They shared everything. There's pillar number two, generosity. And the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was on all of them. There's pillar number three, witness. We'll come back. And so it turned out that not a person among them was needy. Those who owned fields or houses sold them and brought the price of the sale to the apostles and made an offering of it. The apostles then distributed it according to each person's need. Joseph, called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite born in Cyprus, sold a field that he owned, brought the money, and made an offering of it to the apostles. My friends, here is where we see faith in ultra-high definition, 4K. Because we can write about faith and talk about faith as much as we want. But if that faith does not touch my heart, does not change my heart, and that does not change my life, that faith is dead. Faith in the living Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 33, faith in the living Jesus Christ does not stay in the grave dead. It comes out of the grave with Jesus Christ, and it springs into action in this world. The only faith that is alive is a faith that gets into action. How does that happen? Let me show you three of the pillars of this faith that is in action. The first one, we read. The whole congregation of believers was united, one in mind, one in heart. Unity. This actually is an answer to a prayer that we read here. And you're saying, say what? Let me take you back a little bit. When Jesus was in Jerusalem and he's getting ready to be crucified, he takes his disciples and he takes them aside and then he prays for them. Can you remember what he prayed for them? Let me read you. It comes from John chapter 17. I'm praying not only for them, that's the apostles, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. Just stop here for a second. I pray for them, but I pray for those who will believe in me because of what they see in their faith that comes to action. So this is what Jesus then prays. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind. What did we just read? The whole congregation was? Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. When will the world believe? The world will believe when they are in one mind and one heart, united as you, Father, and I am, and as we live in them. That's when our faith is a faith that comes into action, when we are united as a faith community, as God's people. And yes, I know what you're saying. Stop. We're not all the same. We're not. And oftentimes, yes, we differ from one another. That's also true, because it's true that Paul wrote about the body. And he says, you're a body. Body has hands and ears and a nose and eyes and feet. And they're all different from each other. But the only way in which a body can function properly and become what it needs to become and do what it needs to do is when the hand says, I'm a hand and I'm not an eye, and that's fine. But I'm in one heart and one mind with you. And I'm united with you. And as we do this together, despite our differences, and we come together, then this body can act and can work and can become what God wants it to be. And our faith can be seen in our actions also, as we love each other, care for each other, and are there for each other. How does this happen? Let me ask the question the other way around. How doesn't this happen? Because if you heard these words in a moment as a command or a rule or a regulation, that's exactly the wrong way to listen to this. Because you see, we cannot fabricate faith in action. We cannot fabricate this one of mind and heart in unity. However, when Christ comes and takes up his habitat in our lives, the same Christ who says, Father, you are in me, is also Christ who says, and I am in you. In other words, Christ is in me, God is in Christ, God is in me. The moment Christ comes into my life and starts working in my life, the only result that comes from this is his love, his generosity, his care, his compassion starts flowing through my whole life into every nook and every cranny that there can be. And it starts changing me to become more like Christ. And the more I become like Christ, the more Christ is shown in how I love. And I can look at you and say, my brother, my sister, we might differ from each other, but I love you, and my faith comes into action. I might not know you, but I have Christ's compassion in my heart, and because of that, I'm going to be there for you. I see you struggling, and I would like to give of myself to you, because you see, I'm one with God, with Christ, and one with you, my brothers and my sisters. There's a second pillar of faith that we read. It says, And they didn't care about their possessions. They had possessions and they sold it and they gave so that everyone could have. In other words, second pillar, generosity, saying, my possessions don't possess me. I possess them. I can do with them whatever I want to do. And here's the amazing thing. When it speaks about generosity, it doesn't just speak about money, cars, homes. It also speaks about the generosity of my time, the generosity of my kindness, the generosity of my grace, the generosity of my gifts, the generosity of my love. Continue the list. And in that generosity, you can see my faith in action. I've so often heard it said, oh, well, think of you. And maybe sometimes even add, I'll pray for you. And then they just go. Hopefully someone prays. But thinking of someone doesn't do anything. But how amazing have I seen it in this church? And this is what I love about this church, that I can say these things because I see this faith in action. Let me take an example that just happened, still going on. There's someone who's going through a really difficult time, and they're part of a small group, and this small group just said, listen, if you need someone to drive you, we'll drive you. If you need someone to come cook something for you, we're going to provide you with some meals. If you need someone to just come sit with you, we'll come sit with you. If you need some help, we are going to be there for you. Generosity shows our faith in action. And it touches hearts, and it changes hearts, and it changes lives when we give generously of ourselves into the lives of others. And that's faith in action. And again, if you hear this as a command, you're hearing it completely wrong. It's all the rules and regulations that was the downfall of the people of Israel. No, no. Generosity happens because I live of the generosity of God, who gave His Son freely, who gave His life freely, who gives all of this to me freely. And then I don't have to ask or think about it. It just happens. The best example was in the last few verses of the passage that we read. We read there was a man called Joseph. He was a person who was born in Cyprus, but they called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Man, I'd love that nickname. It means that he encouraged people, but here's the cool thing. He didn't just encourage them. Good for you, you're cool, you're wonderful, and God bless you, and take care of yourself. No, 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 no. Look what happened. This Barnabas, Joseph, he looked and he saw people are in need. And Barnabas said, well, I have a field. I was thinking of using this field for something else maybe later. But I see the need. And he goes and he sells the field and he brings whatever he got for that field, gives it to the apostles, and he says, I know there are people in need. Will you just take this and just take care of them? And that's what we call faith in action, when my life becomes a life of generosity. There's a third and last pillar that we read. They witnessed about the resurrection of Christ, and the grace of God was in them. You see, when the grace of God comes into me through Jesus Christ, there's only one thing that happens. It needs to come out again in action, in my faith. And where does it come out? It comes right out of this mouth. And I can't stop saying something. There's this beautiful song that Don Francisco wrote about this man that Jesus healed. And he said, don't tell anyone. And then this guy goes back and he starts singing, I gotta tell somebody. I gotta tell somebody. I gotta tell somebody what Jesus did for me. That's what happens when our faith becomes faith in action. I just can't keep quiet. It comes out. Maybe the best example is the one we saw last week in Luke chapter 5. Peter's on the boat, messes up, and Jesus says, come, let's go, and I'm going to let you catch people. And what happens? If you go back one chapter in Acts chapter 3, go read verse 42. Peter has this beautiful moment where he just speaks. And verse 42 says, and on that day, 3,000 people were baptized and gave their lives to Christ. What a catch. Why? because his faith became faith in action and it came out of his mouth. That does not mean you run out and grab people by the neck and say, turn or burn. Please don't do that. Doesn't mean you go out and you jump on your little soapbox and you start yelling. No. Faith in action that comes through the mouth doesn't mean that we have to say all that much. We can take our example from this early church. Chapter 3, verse 42, 43, and further, go read. What did they do? They ate together, and people ate with them, and they saw their faith in action, and their lives were changed. They cared for people, and people saw that and heard that in the way they spoke to them, in the way they cared for them, in the way they loved them compassionately, and lives were changed. Jim Henderson says, it's not the number of conversions that we need to count, but the number of conversations. Just the way in which I speak. The kindness of my words, the love of my words, the care of my words, that's what changes lives. I think I told you this story before. When I was still teaching Old Testament at university, this one year I had a student. She didn't have to take my class. Well, she had to. It was compulsory for what she was doing, but she wasn't studying theology. And she didn't believe, and she said that, but she had to do Old and New Testament. And I just spoke and spoke the words of the Old Testament with love and grace. And the New Testament guy, lovely, child of the Lord, we just spoke. And at some stage she said, boy, the two of you, the way that you speak this word might just change my life and my heart. And a year later, that young woman decided to change her whole life and gave her life to Christ and studied theology after that and became a pastor. Faith in action is not found in the words we write in creeds. It's found in our hands, in our fingerprints, in our feet, in our hearts, in the way that we love. So it's time for us to take those pillars and go live them. Amen. Pray with me. Thank you for the challenge, Lord, that our faith needs to become action, hands, feet, mouth, eyes, ears for you. Thank you that when you ask that, you help us to do that because you are in us like the Father is in you. And through that, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. In this week, challenge us, Lord. Create those moments where we can show our oneness with you. Create those moments where we can be generous with our time towards our family or loved ones or someone that we just meet. Create those moments in which we can speak in such a way that you and your voice might be heard. Thank you that you trust us with your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.